You're listening to the micro version of the Savage Lovecast, www.savagelovecast.com.
If you're stuck in a relationship quandary, or if you're looking for sexual harmony, well, there's nothing you can't pass on the Savage Lovecast.
It must suck to be Fox News right now. Their guy lost the election, and they can't pretend he didn't, and they're losing viewers by the hundreds of thousands to the right-wing lunatics at Newsmax, where they are willing to pretend Trump won the election. So time to change the subject, which means Fox News is trotting out that old chestnut, that old warhorse, that old reliable culture war staple, the war on Christmas. They put up a Christmas tree outside Fox News, and it's not like those left-wing Christmas trees you've seen in anarchist jurisdictions like Seattle with their twinkling white lights. Oh, no. Take it away, Steve Ducey.
As we look at the old American Christmas tree at Fox Square, welcome to the big studio here in the heart of Midtown Manhattan.
When do you put your tree up?
We put it up, well, this year we're somewhat nomadic. Are we New Yorkers? Are we Texans? So it's not going up on any kind of timely basis this year, but it's usually right about now, right after
that's
Thanksgiving.
Right. I'm doing mine today.
We got a tree outside of the building, so that's kind of everybody's tree.
Thank you, Steve. Thank
it
you.
Is.
That's the America tree. It's red, white, and blue.
Ah, yes, the all-American Christmas tree, the traditional all-American symbol of that all-Americaniest of holidays, Christmas. As all-American Americans know, the all-American Christmas tree was popularized by Prince Albert of Saxe-Coburg-Gotha with an assist from Charles Dickens after Albert's marriage to his cousin Victoria, granddaughter of George III, who became Queen of the United Kingdom and Ireland after the death of her uncle William IV and later became Empress of India. And as all-American Americans know, we celebrate all-American Christmas on the 25th of December because Latin-speaking church leaders meeting in Rome in 366 AD picked that date, December 25th, as the day we would celebrate the birth of our all-American savior, Jesus Christ, a Middle Eastern Jew born 3.5 centuries earlier in what is now Palestine. And church leaders picked December 25th to co-opt an already existing pagan Roman holiday, Solstice, which Romans celebrated by decorating their homes with evergreen trees in the all-American style. Since Americans are notoriously bad at geography and sarcasm, I want to clarify that England, India, the Duchy of Saxe-Coburg and Gotha, Rome, Palestine, not in America. And since Americans are notoriously bad at history, the United States of America didn't exist in 366 AD. I have never understood why right-wingers wanted to make Christmas a front in the culture war, or how they could get away with it. Christmas, a holiday so gay, our Puritan ancestors banned it. Christmas, a holiday so gay, the expression camp as Christmas is used as a homophobic insult in England. We limp-wristed liberals, we love Christmas. It's colorful and sparkly and gay, and you get presents for free. And isn't that what socialism is all about? You know, I gotta say, I used to think it was exhausting to have this argument year after year after year. But this year, after what we've been through over the last 4 years, as tiresome as this war on Christmas shit is, as blasphemous as it is for Fox News to try and turn Christmas Day into July 4th, Independence Day Part 2, somehow this year, watching the talking heads on Fox News haul out their Christmas desecrations, it felt like a return to normalcy. Or a return to what felt abnormal before Trump came along, but now feels as cozy and familiar as Nat King Cole's Christmas album. But for the record and for the millionth time, liberals love Christmas. There's no war on Christmas, just like there's no Santa and there's no Rudolph and there's no Prince Albert. Not anymore. There's also no such thing as Fox Square. Did you catch that in that clip from Fox News where they talked about Fox News headquarters and Fox Square? There's no such thing, no such place in Manhattan. Look it up on Google Maps. No Fox Square. There is a small, nameless, windswept plaza outside Fox News in Manhattan, a dingy little scrap of pavement that somehow isn't the site of daily protests against the misinformation and racist bullshit pushed out by Fox News every day. And I have never understood why it isn't the site of daily protests. And I want to be perfectly clear about this. I support protests. I am against vandalism, against looting, and I don't think protesters should burn down buildings. It doesn't help the cause. It doesn't help any cause. But if people are going to burn down buildings, a random target seems like an odd choice when Fox News headquarters is sitting right there in Fox Square. All right, coming up on today's show, on the micro edition of the Savage Lovecast, tons of your Q's, lots of my A's. And on the magnum edition of the Savage Lovecast, Amy Chan from Breakup Bootcamp is on the show to talk about her scientific and spiritual approach to breakups. All that coming up on today's show. This episode of the Savage Lovecast is brought to you by Talkspace, online therapy that makes it easy to get extra mental health support. For $100 off your first month, go to Talkspace.com and use the offer code SAVAGE. This episode is brought to you by Tushy, the modern bidet attachment that your butt will love and everyone who loves your butt will love too. Go to HelloTushy.com/savage to get 20% off your order and free shipping until December 6th. Stop wiping and start washing. This episode is brought to you by Helix Sleep, the best mattress for your individualized comfort. Right now, my listeners get up to $200 off all mattress orders at helixsleep.com/savage.
Hi, Dan. I'm a submissive straight cis male, and I've got a pandemic success story for you. I was dating a dominant woman before the current unpleasantness. I didn't see her from March until August. Then we had a series of social distancing dates on my front porch when the weather was good. These included coffee, dinner, lots of good conversation, and on the last one, play with my remote-controlled vibrating butt plug. She operated it from an app on her phone and obviously had a good time watching me react. Before she left, she asked if I'd be open to having a play session like this when she didn't come over. I had some doubt about how much I'd enjoy this without her present, but it was clear she would have a good time, and I love to please women, so I agreed. Well, surprise, surprise, I had a great time. I really felt her presence as the vibe rumbled deep in my ass. We texted a lot. I gave her a play-by-play of how it felt. She had me send her pics. She sent me one of herself, semi-nude and reclining. Very nice. She had me play with myself, but told me not to come. I looked at the pics she'd sent me. I imagined being with her, me naked and her nearly so. Of course, I wouldn't be allowed to touch her without her explicit instruction, and she was messing with my ass. It wasn't that different. Eventually, she told me to come for her, and I did. It was great. My hand, but her command. She had me send her more pics as things resolved. Then she sent one more vibration pattern into my ass and told me to keep the plug in until it was done. And then she was gone. Until the next adventure. I smiled the rest of the day.
Thank you for calling in and sharing your success story. We like to start each week's show with somebody's sex success story before we get to everybody's sex and relationship problems and drama and strife. I particularly liked this one. I fully expect remote control sex toys will be the hit gift of this COVID-impacted holiday season. Thank you again for calling in and sharing. And now on to the problems, the drama, and the strife.
Hi, Dan. I'm a 26-year-old pan woman from the upper Midwest. I've been married for just over 1 year, and my husband is aware that I'm pan. Over the past several months, I have been contemplating asking him if he would be willing to have a conversation about opening up our marriage. I've been doing a lot of soul searching lately, and I'm discovering that a lot of my mental health issues stem from me feeling inauthentic and like a fraud. As of late, these feelings have been eating me alive, and I have been anxiety-ridden and feeling physically ill. One of the main reasons I want to open up our marriage is so that I can seek female-identifying sexual and possibly even emotional connections. My husband does a good job satisfying me emotionally and sexually, but I feel incomplete, being unable to express and act on my attraction to other female-identifying people. I'm not 100% sure what the exact details of opening up our relationship would look like, but I do know that I would be okay with my husband also seeking other sexual and emotional connections, as long as we both agree that our marriage is our primary relationship. I am nervous about broaching this topic with my husband, however, because I am completely unsure of how he will react. He comes from a very Irish Catholic family, but as an adult is not extremely devout. I still want to have children with and grow old with my husband, but I'm afraid that he will view this as the ultimate betrayal and that he isn't enough, which definitely is not the case. What I'm asking is if you have any advice on how to broach this topic with him and what I could potentially expect from this conversation.
Please don't get married. Anybody out there listening, please don't get married before you're 25 and your brain is fully formed. 24 years old, you've been married for a year. That means you married a 22 or 23 caller. And I just think that that's a bad idea. And obviously, in your case, it was. You didn't know what you wanted. You didn't know what you needed in your life when you were 23 years old or 22 years old or 21 years old and you accepted your then boyfriend, now husband's proposal. And now you have some clarity. Your Pan, he's always known your Pan. You've always been out to him. That's good. But now you know that, I'm sorry, he isn't enough for you. You say that you don't want him to think he's not enough for you, but then you say if you're not able to have relationships with female persons, that you're going to feel incomplete and that for your own mental health, you're going to need to have relationships, not just sexual, also emotional relationships, emotional connections with others. Okay, then by definition, he's not enough for you. He doesn't meet all of your needs. I don't think any one person can be everything to any other one person. I think we would be a lot more content in our relationships generally, even if our relationships are sexually exclusive and emotionally exclusive, if we just looked at each other and said, yeah, you're not enough for me and I'm not enough for you. And one person can never be enough for another person. I hope I come close. And even if we're sexually exclusive, I hope you have other relationships that provide you with some of the other things that you may need emotionally, meet some of your other needs that I can't meet. And me allowing you to get those needs met elsewhere may be one way that I get closer to being enough for you, even if it's not a sexually open relationship. You didn't have that conversation before you married, though, because you didn't know at 22 or 23 what you needed. Now you know, and you're going to have to reverse engineer an agreement with your husband about your commitment. You made a monogamous commitment. It was the wrong thing to do. It was wrong for you. I'm not blaming you. You know, a lot of us are hustled along into making monogamous commitments because we're told good people are monogamous and monogamous people are good and we want to think of ourselves as good. And being in love means being monogamous means we're in love. And the end result is a lot of people don't realize that monogamy wasn't for them until after they've made that monogamous commitment. And as we frequently discuss on this show, almost all people in happy, open, poly relationships – those relationships, perhaps outside of San Francisco and Seattle and Portland, almost invariably started as closed monogamous relationships. So at some point, someone raised the issue and they had a difficult conversation. And there's no way to have this conversation without difficulty. Your husband is likely to have, at least at the outset, a negative reaction. One of the perks of marriage is that it's hard to walk away from someone that you've committed to publicly in that way and legally lashed yourself to. So you can raise the subject, and even if he has a negative reaction, you have some assurance that he's going to think about it or have to think about it long and hard before he does anything drastic like moving out or calling in the divorce lawyers. So even if he has a negative reaction at first, that doesn't mean that you're not going to keep talking. That doesn't mean he's not going to think about it. He's in a position, because you two are married, where he's not going to have any choice but to think about it long and hard before he takes action. And who knows? Sometimes people say, have you ever thought about having an open relationship, which for fuck's sake is a conversation that everyone should have before they get married, not after they get married, whether they're interested in openness or not, at least to find out if your partner was thinking about it. Which, for fuck's sake, is a conversation that everybody should have, monogamous or not, before they get married, just to make sure if what you want is monogamy, that monogamy is also what your partner wants, a person you're about to marry, that they're on the same page. So it should be discussed. Well, you're going to discuss it now. I would recommend you get opening up by frequent Savage Clubcast guest and host of the Sex Out Loud podcast, Tristan Taormino. It's a terrific book about opening up a relationship that will help you both to have this conversation, a conversation that might be difficult. And I would urge you, please God, to have this conversation sooner rather than later, and to have this conversation, for fuck's sake, before you have kids. Don't wait until after you have kids to have this conversation. If you're feeling overwhelmed right now, then you are a human being. There's a whole lot to be anxious about between the 24/7 news cycle, the pandemic, divisive politics. Right now, we all need to take better care of our mental health and work through our emotions, and we can do that. And it helps to do that with a licensed therapist. Talkspace is making therapy affordable and accessible for all. because we all need extra support to feel our best. Talkspace has thousands of licensed therapists trained in over 40 specialties, including anxiety, depression, relationships, and more. No matter what, Talkspace will find you the right therapist to help you achieve your goals. Talkspace is a fraction of the cost of in-person therapy. Instead of waiting for an appointment, you can send unlimited messages to your therapist 24/7, and they will engage with you daily, 5 days a week. And now, Talkspace covers 40 million people for online therapy through their insurance or employer. Find out if you're eligible at Talkspace.com/insurance. Talking to friends is different than talking to a licensed therapist who has the expertise and knowledge to give you practical guidance. Talkspace offers the support we all need at an affordable price. As a listener of the Savage Lovecast, you get $100 off your first month with Talkspace. To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com or download the app. Make sure to use the code SAVAGE to get $100 off your first month and show your support for the show. That's SAVAGE at Talkspace.com.
Hi, Dan. So I've been with my guy for like 2 years, and he has no kinks. None. And I'm not really sure if it's really true that he doesn't have any, or if he's just not being honest. And so I'm a little bit hesitant to really share what I like with him, because he just doesn't. He even says that when he gets on Pornhub or whatever, he just scrolls through till he finds something. He doesn't even search anything. Like, is that normal that someone just doesn't have any kinks? Just, he's totally vanilla. He's totally open with anything that I do. But is he?
Is it normal for someone to have no kinks? Well, assuming that your boyfriend isn't lying, assuming that he's 100% vanilla but pretty open to anything, may not be normal, but it is his normal. Is he hiding something? Is he lying to you? I don't know. I couldn't tell you. I don't know what's going on between his ears when he masturbates. But if you've been with him for 2 years and you've stumbled over no evidence that there's some secret second sexual life that he's living and that he's hiding from you, or something that he's deeply ashamed of, take him at his word. He's pretty vanilla but very open-minded, and maybe he's the second G, really strongly second G in GGG. Maybe he's very giving. Maybe he's really into doing whatever it is that turns his partner on, and the giving of pleasure, going there, doing the things that you want to do, being GGG himself. Maybe that's kind of his kink. Maybe you should understand that as his thing. You may have some kinks your own that are more specific, that are things that leap to mind when someone uses the word kink, but maybe that's his thing. Maybe that's what he grooves on. Absent some, you know, sexual dysfunction, sexual neglect, some shameful or furtive behavior, yeah, take him at his word. What you've got right now is a hot vanilla boyfriend who's game for anything, up for anything, into doing whatever it is that you want to do. As problems go, that's a pretty good problem to have. This episode of the Savage Lovecast is brought to you by Tushy. Everyone's got an ass. Everyone deserves the gift of Tushy. Did you know the average person uses 57 sheets of toilet paper a day, and that every roll of toilet paper requires 37 gallons of water to be produced? A bidet only uses an average of a pint of water. And wiping your butt with dry toilet paper does not clean you off properly. And wet wipes, oh my God, they're worse than toilet paper. They're terrible for the environment. That's why your tushy needs a tushy in its life. And come on, if you got poop on any other part of your body, would you just wipe it off with dry paper? Would you just smear it around with dry paper? Water cleans better than dry paper, as you already know, because water is what you use to clean anything else off any other part of your body. Tushy is a sleek bidet attachment that clips to your existing toilet and sprays your butt completely clean with fresh water. It's not toilet water. Tushy connects to the water supply behind your toilet to spray your dirty parts with clean, fresh water. So she sprays directly to your ass and removes the poop completely, so you aren't sitting on bacteria that leads to nasty things like hemorrhoids, yeast infections, UTIs, itchy assholes, and skid marks. A bidet saves you money on toilet paper, and you won't have to worry about clogged toilets or feel the need to hoard toilet paper. Bidets are common all over the world. Come on, USA, catch up. Get a bidet, get a tushy for your tushy. They're only $79. There's also the Tushy Ottoman that helps you get everything out for only $69. Go to hellotushy.com/savage to get 20% off your order and free shipping until December 6th. That's hellotushy.com/savage.
Hey, Dan. I'm calling with a polyamory question. I am not polyamorous myself, but I have started dating a married man. And he's in an ethically open relationship with his wife, who I have reached out to make sure that everything checks out, and it does, and things have been going really well. As relationships go, I've, of course, started to notice things that have annoyed me, and one of them includes the fact that he likes to tell me how much he wants to fuck other women that he sees. Totally not a jealous person, totally fine with his high sex drive. But also, do I have to hear about it? I've made a couple comments when he's commented about my friends, but I think it breeds defensiveness and it breeds a mistrusting relationship, which I don't want. Maybe I'm just sex shaming him. I don't know. The other part of it is that I believe he might just be a little bit dense when it comes to realizing the effects that his actions and his words have on other people. And I've seen this happen in his own relationship with his wife. I think that sometimes maybe he has a hard time putting himself in other people's shoes, which is a really difficult thing to communicate to somebody without it turning into an accusatory conversation. I don't want to throw him under the bus. I want to approach this with a level-headed demeanor. And I just guess I'm looking for some advice from anybody who knows how to approach this situation, knowing full well that I'm not his number one, knowing full well that I'm not here to try to change who he is. I'm just enjoying his company. And I don't know, but I also want to look out for my own needs, my own wants, and things that make me uncomfortable without him assuming it's coming from a place of jealousy.
This isn't polyamory, what he's doing. It's assholery. He sounds incredibly inconsiderate, and you are being so considerate about how to confront this asshole about how inconsiderate of your feelings he's being. Even if you're not jealous, even if you understand that he has a wife and other sexual partners and you're not his number one, it's not unreasonable for you when you're with him to want to feel like you're the one he's with right this minute, even if you're not the only one. And him talking to you about your friends that he wants to fuck and other women he's about to fuck, you're not his buddy at the bar hearing about his conquests, and you're not interested in playing that role in his life, and you're not interested in setting him up with your friends. I'm sorry. You need to just be blunt with him. And maybe he's on the spectrum, and maybe he doesn't get it, and maybe he has very poor social skills, but you just need to be straight with him. Look, I don't want to hear about this. Don't tell me about all my friends you want to fuck when we're together. When we're together, I want to feel like, at least for this minute, you're thinking about fucking me. And if you can't focus on fucking me when we're together, when we're getting together to fuck, then I don't want to fuck you anymore. Knock it the fuck off. Even if it didn't bother you to occasionally hear about other – even if it turned you on to hear about the other women that he's sleeping with, he would need to – ask you that first. He would need to figure that out over time. That would be a very particular kink. And he shouldn't just assume that any one of his sex partners wants to hear about all of his other sex partners. Again, that's not a poly thing. That's an asshole thing. The poly guy you're seeing is not going to call him an asshole, but he is acting like an asshole. And you need to confront him, not about his polyamory, not about the way he practices polyamory, but about his assholery. And you need to tell him to knock it off, that you don't like it. And if he can't knock it off, stop seeing him. Because what he's telling you in that moment is he doesn't care about how you feel. He would rather run his mouth about all the pussy he wants to get or all the pussy he's getting, then be considerate of the feelings of the woman who is sitting in front of him right now, being considerate of your feelings. So, yeah, he doesn't get to claim poly or accuse you of not getting it or being polyphobic or anything else. You want the person who's putting his dick inside you to show minimum consideration for your feelings. Now, maybe he's dense and doesn't get it, doesn't understand that this is hurting your feelings, that you don't enjoy hearing about this. Well, once you have told him, he has no excuse. And don't wait another minute to tell him to knock this shit, knock this assholery the fuck off already. This episode of the Savage Lovecast is brought to you by Helix Sleep. If you can hear my voice, that means you're awake. But pretty soon, you're going to want to go to sleep. And getting a new Helix mattress will help you go to sleep, and it will help you sleep well. It's what Terry and I do every night. We do it every night, and we do it on our Helix mattress. Helix Sleep has a quiz that takes just 2 minutes to complete and matches your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress for you. Why would you buy a mattress made for someone else? With Helix, you're getting a mattress that you know will be perfect for the way you sleep. Everybody's unique, and Helix knows that, so they have several different mattress models to choose from. They have soft, medium, and firm mattresses, mattresses great for cooling you down if you sleep hot, and even a Helix Plus mattress for plus-sized folks. I took the Helix quiz. Actually, we took it together, and we were matched with the Lux Midnight mattress because I wanted something that felt not too soft but not too firm either. And Terry tends to move around a lot at night, and it was and is the perfect mattress for us. We love how comfortable it is, and I love that Helix is not ashamed to say that they build their mattresses with sex in mind. That is refreshing. And yes, their mattresses work very well for that too, not just for sleep, also for sex. So if you're looking for a mattress for sleeping or sexing or both, take the quiz, order the mattress that you're matched to, and the mattress will come right to your door shipped for free. You don't ever need to go to a mattress store again. Helix is awesome, but you know what? You don't have to take my word for that. Helix was awarded the number one best overall mattress pick of 2020 by GQ and Wired Magazine. Go to helixsleep.com/savage and take their 2-minute sleep quiz, and they'll match you to a customized mattress that will give you the best sleep of your life. They have a 10-year warranty, and you get to try it out for 100 nights risk-free. They'll even pick it up if you don't love it. But you know what? They're not going to have to pick it up because you are going to love it. Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners at helixsleep.com/savage. You heard that right. Go to helixsleep.com/savage.
Hey, Dan. I have a relationship terminology question and figured if anyone would know the answer to it, it would be you. So over the years as a Lovecast listener, I've heard you use terms like monogamous, open relationships, DADT, but none of those ever seem to really fit my particular relationship. I'm a bi woman, my husband is a straight man, and we love casually dating and hooking up with female thirds together. We only play together, and we would consider it cheating and a betrayal if either of us had a solo experience with someone outside of our relationship. We love threesomes and we love pursuing women together, but like I always say, we are a team. So I'm just curious, is there a term for couples who open their relationship but are also monogamous in the sense that they only play together as a package deal? I'm sure we're not the only ones out there.
You say you want a label and you already have one and you used it at the end of your call. You two are a package deal. That's how couples that are open but only play together are often described. I don't think that there's a pride flag for package deals. I don't think there needs to be a pride flag for package deals, but there are already terms for you. The long and involved one is we are in an open relationship, but we only play together. And the shorter term that most people who are in open relationships understand that would describe your situation are those two words that you used at the end of your call. You two are a package deal. Now, maybe you deserve a pride flag of your very own, and maybe somebody out there in the package deal community can get on that. But probably by the end of the show, some enterprising Savage Lovecast listener will have designed the flag for the package deal community that the package deal community wants and deserves and has been waiting for.
Hi, Dan. I'm a 32-year-old straight cisgender man, and I wanted to ask you a question about masturbating. Technology's come a long way. Lately, my habit has been that I go to Instagram or Facebook and look for a photo of an attractive female friend, and I use Photoshop to make it look like she's naked. I know that that's extremely creepy, and I don't feel great with myself, but what I really want to make sure is that I'm not violating anybody's consent by doing this. It's on my computer for a few seconds, and I edit it, and then I delete it. I'm really not trying to cause harm with this. It feels like a bit of a gray area, so please let me know what you think.
What do I think? I think it's kind of creepy. You think it's kind of creepy. It's not something that you would want your female friends to know that you're doing. But in the same way, prior to Photoshop existing, you wouldn't have wanted your female friends to know that you were conjuring up mental images of them while you masturbated. You were thinking about them while you masturbated. And there's a pretty easy and effective way to make sure that your female friends didn't know that you were thinking about them when you masturbated. And that was not telling them that you were thinking about them while you masturbated, not seeking their consent to think about them while you masturbate, because that just forces them to think about you thinking about them while you are masturbating. And that is not a thought that anybody needs to be burdened with or really wants to have to think about. Yeah, there's obviously, if you're a relatively attractive person, and attractiveness is subjective. So just about everybody out there has probably at some point in their life, all unbeknownst to them, been the subject of somebody else's masturbatory fantasies. And that's really what we're talking about here. You're having a little masturbatory fantasy with a technological assist. And rather than just conjuring up a mental image of your friend naked, you're yanking a photo of them that they have posted publicly off the internet, editing it so you can better imagine them naked, having a wank, and then deleting it. It would be a real problem if you were saving these on an unsecure file somewhere that somebody else might one day stumble across. It would be a real problem if you were posting these publicly on the internet in some horrifying forum on Reddit or 4chan or 8chan or wherever the fuck. You're not doing anything like that. You're creating these images, you're having your wank, and you are very responsibly deleting these images. You are erasing this work. And so the people that you're masturbating about, as uncomfortable as it might make them to know that you were doing this, aren't in any way being harmed. And so ethically, I don't think that there's a problem here. This is only creepy insofar as I've had to contemplate it, and now all my listeners have had to contemplate it, right? If we didn't have to contemplate it and this was just something that you did in private for your own enjoyment and never told anybody about and didn't post anything publicly about, there would be no creep. Nobody would be feeling creepy. So keep your mouth shut, enjoy what you enjoy, do what you're doing, continue to delete what you are deleting, and don't tell the people that you're masturbating about, that you are thinking about when you masturbate, that you are thinking about them when you masturbate. Don't seek their consent. You do not have to seek anyone's consent to enjoy your private thoughts. Just keep them private.
Hi, Dan. I am a 36 female, straight, living in the Northeast. I'm calling because of a situation that recently came up with a guy I met 2 months ago. So he is 39, divorced about 3 years ago. I am 36, also divorced about 3 years ago. And so I had just actually moved back to my home state, right in the middle of the pandemic, but thankful to be home. And we just had a great connection the first 3 to 4 weeks, a little bit rare for somebody I, one, met online, and also just rare to have that level of intensity at 36, in my opinion. So met within the first week, we're spending time up till 2-3 in the morning and just having a great time getting to know each other. All that came to a halt when we tried to have sex 3 to 4 weeks in, and that was a result of him having performance anxiety and being really embarrassed about what happened, and also just kind of in his head about what this actually means. So it turns out it's not the first time it's happened for him. He had previously had it happen to him once. However, because it was just a year after his divorce, he figured
it was a matter of just potentially not being over his divorce or still emotionally involved. However, when he casually dates and has sex, he's totally able to perform. It's just when he is getting to know somebody and likes them that that anxiety comes up. So couldn't perform, hadn't had sex. His call out there was, look, I clearly am fucked up. I need to work on myself. I will be single for the rest of my life if I can't get this shit fixed out. And I don't think I'm going to be a good partner to you because I'm going to be in my head. My reaction when this happens is get the fuck out and leave. And so because that is where my head is at, I don't think I can be there for you. And we ended things. That lasted for about a week. Slowly started texting again, and we started to see each other again just once a week. So definitely scaled back. So I'm now at a point where it's been 2 months. I really like him, would love to continue exploring, but I also know there's a huge difference in how he's approaching it now versus how he did at the beginning. He measures his communication. Obviously, we meet up, but I feel like I'm the one initiating, and that doesn't feel good. And so I'm at the point where I'm wondering if I perhaps am trying to push forward something with someone who is telling me he's emotionally unavailable, and what's the fine balance between enjoying it for what it is now and being casual about it versus kind of reading what he's telling me that he's emotionally unavailable. The other thing is I asked him if he wanted to casually date and just kind of see other people at the same time. That's not the case. He has no interest in seeing other people. And if that's my interest, he wants out. He likes me, would like to date, but is also saying, this is where my head's at. So I need to take it super slow. And the other thing is I'm curious about wanting to learn more about performance anxiety, where it comes from, how it works, and really, how can someone overcome this?
I'm going to tackle your last question first. Performance anxiety, how does it happen? How does it work? Well, I think it's pretty obvious from the name there, performance anxiety. Somebody gets anxious about whether or not they're going to be able to perform. That anxiety pulls them out, takes them out of the moment. They stop thinking about all things or stop taking in all the things that are turning them on, all the visual and sensual stimuli, and just start to worry about whether their dick is going to get soft. And that's not an exciting thing to think about. That's not a sexy thought. And ta-da, your dick starts to get soft when you start thinking about unsexy thoughts like, am I about to disappoint this person? There's a really easy and effective way, and I've been pushing this for decades, and I've heard from so many people that this has worked for, to control for this kind of performance anxiety. And this kind of performance anxiety, when we say performance anxiety, we're never talking about women. We're always talking about men and their boners, because this is always about the dick. This is always about an erection and how easily spooked some men's erections can be. And that's because men have it in their heads, and often women have it in their heads, that without a hard dick, there is no sex. That the absence of a hard dick means that the sex failed and that it's over or it can't even start. And if you are with somebody who has performance anxiety about ruining the sex if they can't get hard, what you need to do is say, we're going to have sex whether you get hard or not. We're going to do all of these crazy, fun, different things, maybe PIV, maybe PIA, if we're going to do penetrative sex. But if we're not going to do penetrative sex, we're going to do mutual masturbation. We're going to do oral sex. You're going to go down on me, and I don't even care if your dick's hard, and I'm not going to be able to see your dick or not. And taking the pressure off somebody, the pressure to perform, often paradoxically makes it easier for that dick to get hard and easier for that person to perform. If somebody is having PIV intercourse with you and they begin to lose their erection and you get angry or huffy or they get embarrassed and you buy into that embarrassment, yeah, the dick's not coming back. When you break out that tiny little casket and have a little sad funeral for that dick, it's not going to magically suddenly get hard. But if they start getting soft, if the dude you're with starts getting soft while they're fucking you, and instead of everybody getting a sad or getting out of bed or calling it quits, you pivot to something else, something that takes the pressure off, something that adjusts the expectations in that moment and moves the sex from something this person feels that they're failing at, PIV, to something that they may be quite capable of excelling at in that moment, eating your pussy, suddenly he's hard again, ready to dive back in, ready to shove his pee back into your V and resume PIVing the shit out of you. So performance anxiety, kind of obvious what it's all about. And it's always seemed to me really obvious how to work with, work around, control for it. And even if the erection doesn't come back, even if you pivot to something else and the dude doesn't get hard, you're still having sex and you're still having fun and you're still succeeding. And the performance is still a good one, even if there wasn't PIV. So much of the performance anxiety problem really is grounded in PIV being the definition of sex, the default expectation when a man and a woman go to bed together, the headlining act instead of just one of the players on the playbill. All right, so this guy, he's told you that this is what happens, that when he's feeling serious about someone, that his dick gets shy. And when he doesn't care about someone, he doesn't have this problem. Maybe he has a little bit of a touch of the Madonna whore complex, something you might want to address with him. Maybe he has a harder time sort of losing himself in the moment erotically when it's somebody that he cares about, when the sex feels more emotionally consequential, particularly at the beginning of a relationship. You know, he may feel like you're someone that he could see himself with, but he doesn't know that yet. And he doesn't want his dick to get out over his skis. That's not really a metaphor that works, is it? He doesn't want his dick to make a promise that he can't keep. He worries about what it means if he's feeling this way about you, feeling this close and attracted to you and interested in you and sensing that there might be something long-term with you. And then if the sex on top of that is amazing, does that mean his dick is sort of boxing him into making a premature commitment in a way? So much could be going on in this guy's head. I can only speculate. But if you like him and you're continuing to hang out with him, even if you're the one doing the initiating right now, and that is fine, and you have a good feeling about him, give him some time, give him some space. And then when you start fucking again, have a conversation about the performance anxiety and take the pressure off performance-wise by making the sex not all about his dick. In fact, you know, one good way for a couple that's having an issue with performance anxiety to get past it is to agree that the next few times you two do have sex, you're not going to have penetrative sex at all. You're going to masturbate together. You're going to roll around together. You're going to get each other off somehow, not using orifices and not requiring then a hard dick to pummel said orifice. And that can help build a guy's confidence up. You know, when he's seen you see his dick work, he knows you know his dick works. And then when you move on, then when you declare the moratorium on PIV or PIA or PIT or PIB over, he's less likely to have those issues because your confidence in his dick, because you've seen it work, helps buoy his confidence in his own dick because he knows that you know that it works. And he knows that if it doesn't work in that moment, it's not a disaster and it's not a problem and you two can continue to have sex and get each other off in other ways. So if you like him, I think everything he's telling you makes a kind of emotional sense. He just got divorced. That's hugely traumatic. It may scare him a little bit how much he likes you. And that has made the sex perhaps a little bit more fraught with you than it was with women that he wasn't interested in seeing again. And so it's going to take a little longer to build back up, take a little longer for him to feel safe with you and confident with you. And if you follow my easy performance anxiety tips, his confidence, like his dick, will grow. All right, before we get to your response calls, let's read some tweets. At HadDayR tweets, because it's 2020, instead of shrugging and assuming a technical glitch for the lack of a Savage Lovecast this morning, I lost my shit and assumed everyone associated with the Lovecast was dead. We are not dead. Glitches sometimes happen, but this week's Lovecast is here to prove, again, that we are not dead. At Line Lamon DK tweets, hey, at Fake Dan Savage, please, please, please consider doing a Savage Lovecast live stream at a time of day when your devoted European listeners can join you. Our next Savage Love live stream is streaming worldwide on Saturday, December 12th, but we will schedule the next Savage Love live stream for noon on a Saturday, so make it a matinee in America and a late evening show in Europe. And finally, at Heather Grof tweets, bought myself an early Christmas present today, a subscription to the Savage Lovecast Magnum. Can't wait to delve into the archives. Thanks at Fake Dan Savage for making long hours in the COVID lab more entertaining. Thank you, Heather, for the work you're doing in the COVID lab. And last week when I was doing the tweets, I mentioned Stacey Abrams' organization, which helped to get out the vote in Georgia, helped to win Georgia for Joe Biden. I said they were at fairfight.org. They're actually at fairfight.com. And a quick correction. Last week when I was reading the tweets, I mentioned Stacey Abrams' organization in Georgia that helped flip Georgia, turn it blue, encourage people to make a donation. It's fairfight.com, not fairfight.org. I said fairfight.org. It's fairfight.com. Go to fairfight.com now. Join me in making a donation to Stacey Abrams' terrific organization in Georgia and help deliver 2 Senate seats to the Democrats on January 5th. All right, now your response calls.
Hi, Dan. I'm calling about your response in episode 735 to the caller who was giving directions to some guy and he exposed himself to her. What you said that you would do in that situation is ideal. However, in real life, that would take practice, especially for women. Taking self-defense classes or even acting out some scenarios on your own can help prepare you for the next time you're in fight or flight or freeze mode.
Hey, Dan, I'm calling in response to the caller in episode 735 about premature ejaculation. Normally agree with everything you say. I got to say, though, here, premature ejaculation is something that I suffered with for a long time. And what I did and what I was just college did is get to therapy. Go talk to a really great sex-positive therapist. For me, it was a lot of entrenched personal issues that I dealt with for a long time. And through that, I was able to overcome the physical side of premature ejaculation, still struggling with some of the emotional side and things that came along with it, but all is not lost.
This is for the caller that can't figure out why she keeps breaking up with people. I'm exactly like you. I'm 40, and I just realized during quarantine that the reason I don't want to be with somebody is because I don't want to get married. It looks terrible. It looks like torture. I date just the nicest guys. They're so wonderful and they're so nice. And I just, the minute I feel like maybe it's heading in that direction, I break up with them because I took 40 years to figure it out. I don't want to get married. And I'm so happy that I learned it, even in quarantine. I'm very happy that I'm here, not with a husband. So, yeah, turns out nothing's wrong with me. I just never wanted to get married. Thank God.
All right, we're going to leave it there. Got a question you want answered or a comment about this week's show? There are 2 ways to get them to us. You can call us at 206-302-2064. That's 206-302-2064. Or you can use the voice memo app on your phone to record your question or comment and then email it to us at voicemail@savagelovecast.com. Get your tickets now for the next Savage Love live stream, where I'll be answering as many of your questions as I can live from my living room on Saturday, December 12th. Send your question ahead of time to livestream@savagelovecast.com and then go to savagelovecast.com/events to get your tickets. Speaking of tickets, you have a few more chances to see Hump's Greatest Hits Volume 2. Head to humpfilmfest.com for this great compilation of our favorite smut from the last 15 years of the Hump Film Festival. And you now have until January 8th to get us your homemade dirty movies for the 16th annual Hump Film Fest in 2021. Go to humpfilmfest.com/submit to learn more about making and submitting a film and becoming a part of Hump. Follow me on Twitter at @FakeDanSavage. Check out Amy Chan's work at renewbreakupbootcamp.com. And I'd like to thank Bobby Lewis of Media Matters for the Fox News clip we played at the top of the show. Follow Bobby on Twitter at @RevRLewis. The Savage Lovecast is produced every week by Nancy Hartunian, and me and the tech savvy at-risk youth and Nancy will all be back at you next week for an installment of the Savage Lovecast. Thank you for downloading.